If you've got your Bibles, the reading is Daniel chapter 12. I'm not sure if you're allowed to have a church Bible, but if you have got one, it's page 750. So the reading is from Daniel chapter 12. It's Daniel chapter 12, and we read the whole chapter. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And that when the shattering the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. So reads the word of God. Now, as you know, whenever I preach, I'm going through a series called People Just Like Us. And it's based on the verse in James, which is talking about Elijah, which is one of the Bible characters. And he says he's a man just like us. So this series, which I'm sure will go on for years, is on different Bible characters. Most of them are going to be one-off sermons. But as you know, today is the third sermon in a series of three sermons on Daniel. And let me just stress that we have not gone through the book of Daniel and expounded all 12 chapters. What we've done is we've looked at the 12 chapters and thought about seven things it tells us about Daniel. Now, I would encourage you, listening in and in church, to read the book of Daniel. And it's quite a difficult book to understand, especially the last half of the book. So I would encourage you to get a commentary. I recommend three. Sinclair Ferguson, excellent. Stuart Olliott, Dare to Stand Alone. And then our very own Jeff Thomas, Daniel and the Four Kings. So I'd recommend that you, if you want to understand the book of Daniel, to do that. But our purpose this morning is to look at the character Daniel. And so far, over the last two sermons, we've noticed five things. I said to you we're going to look at seven things altogether. And so far we've done five. That he was a long way from home. He made a stand. He had a Christ-like character. He trusted in God's sovereignty. And he was a man of prayer. Now this morning, we're going to do the sixth and the seventh. And the sixth point is way longer than the seventh point. Okay? So the sixth point is this. He knew the church would be victorious. He knew the church would be victorious. You see, Daniel, the book of Daniel, really charts a 70-year war lived between Babylon and Jerusalem, or the world and the church, or the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. And Daniel saw that Christ's kingdom is a growing kingdom that will never be destroyed and is at the center of world history. And yet, it doesn't seem like it. And there will be tough times ahead. Now, this first point is quite complicated, so listen in very carefully. There's five things Daniel says, or Daniel realizes, about the fact the church will be victorious. The first is this. He sees there's going to be three stages in world history. And we see that first of all in chapter 7. Now, chapter 7 takes place before chapter 5 and chapter 6, just to confuse us even more. And it's the first year of King Belshazzar's reign. And so 30 years have passed now since the end of chapter 4 and Nebuchadnezzar. And now we're in the first year of King Belshazzar's reign. There's about 50 years since Daniel first came as a young 14-year-old boy to Babylon. And he has a dream or a vision. And he's lying on his couch, and you can see in Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 to 14. We're not going to go through them, but that's your homework to read through that. Chapter 7, verse 1 to 14, he's lying on his couch, and he has a dream. And when he woke up, he wrote down the main points of this dream. And the dream is really, it reinforces Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2, but with more detail. And he says it's going to be three stages in world history. And it's a survey from Daniel's time right the way up to the end of the world. Three stages. The first stage is this. There's going to be four beasts. You can read chapter 7 when you go home. Daniel sees four winds from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And they're all blowing at the same time upon the ocean and stirring it up. And the ocean signifies mankind. And from this ocean, from mankind, come four beasts. Verse 4 in chapter 7 corresponds to the head of gold in chapter 2 and is Babylon in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. So remember now history? Babylon. Then you've got a second beast in verse 5, the Medes and the Persians. In verse 6, you've got the third beast, which is the panther with four wings, and four wings matched by four heads. And in the Bible, the number four speaks of the world. So this beast is going to conquer the whole world. And that is the Greeks under Alexander the Great. And then in chapter 7 and verse 7, you've got a fourth beast, which is spiteful Rome. So Daniel's saying now, listen, the first stage in world history, there's going to be four beasts. And then in chapter 8 of Daniel, it gives us more detail about two of those beasts, the second and the third. And the second beast is seen as a ram, which is the Medes and the Persians. And a ram, I don't know if you've met any rams, but this ram's got two horns. One horn is slightly bigger than the other. So the Medes were going to dominate, but then the Persians took over very quickly. And this ram, it just butts anything in its way. Like the Medes and the Persians, they conquered so much. And then meeting this ram in chapter 8 comes a goat. Stay with me. Comes a goat. This goat's got one horn. And this goat completely obliterates the ram. That's exactly what happened, isn't it? With Alexander the Great, he completely obliterated the Medes and the Persians. And then if you look and we read chapter 7, verse 8, they're talking about this ram. It says, chapter 8, verse 7, it says, I saw him come close to the ram, and he was enraged against him and struck the lamb and broke his two horns. And the ram had no power to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled on him. And then there was no one who could rescue the ram from his power. Then the goat became exceedingly great. But when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And instead of it, there came up four conspicuous horns towards the four winds of heaven. So stay with me. The first stage in history, four beasts. Babylon, Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. We are still on the third beast now, the ram, the goat, the great Greek empire. Alexander the Great, at his height, in his young 30s, what happened to him? Struck down. And from the Greeks, then, it splits into four kingdoms. Still the Greek kingdom, but four sections. Four horns. And then, Daniel goes into great detail here, he comes across a man called Antiochus Epiphany. So from the Greeks, there comes four horns. So the Greek empire splits into four. And from one of those little sections comes this awful horn, Antiochus Epiphanes, who really is one of the worst people ever to live. And he conquers Egypt, and then he conquers Armenia, and eventually he invades Canaan and God's people. And he becomes a pain, the biggest pain ever to the people of God. If you can read the history, and you talk about the Maccabeans, and there was times when he wore out the saints. There was no light at all. There was no worship in the temple. All was really, really bad. And it went on for 6 years and 4 months. And then in chapter 8, verse 14, the promise came true, didn't it? That his time would come to an end. After him comes the fourth beast, which is Rome. That's a complicated bit. Four beasts. First stage in history. Babylonians, Medes and Persians, Greeks and the Romans. The second stage is this. From Rome come 10 other horns. You can see that in chapter 7, verse 7. We'll read that. It says, after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that went before it, and it had 10 horns. So the first stage, four beasts. The second stage, from that fourth beast, comes 10 horns. Now, that is the stage of history we are living in at the moment. 10 is a number in the Bible which talks about completeness. And what it's talking about is all the kingdoms of the world. Britain, America, China, Russia, any other kingdom that will come. They are the 10 horns, the time we are living in at the moment. So Daniel has this vision. There's going to be 3 stages in history, Daniel. 4 beasts. That's the first stage. The second stage, there's going to be 10 horns. In other words, all the kingdoms of the world. And then the third stage, and this is the important bit. The first 2 stages have happened or are happening. So the third stage will also happen. This is what happens. An 11th horn comes. And this is the bit which maybe we'll find the most difficult to understand. If you look at verse 8, they said, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which 3 of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. From one of these kingdoms will come a little horn. And this little horn will be the most evil that has ever been. He will be so evil and so powerful, people will think that he's supernatural, but he's not. He's just a man. He will be full of blasphemy and arrogance and be puffed up. Now, when Daniel saw this, verse 15 of chapter 7 says he was troubled. And he says, you need to explain this to me. 4 beasts. Then from 4 beasts come all the kingdoms of the world. Then from all the kingdoms of the world comes this horrible, almost supernatural being who's blasphemous and arrogant and puffed up. What is the Antichrist? So Daniel is saying, throughout history, these 4 beasts, then all the kingdoms of the world, and then at the end will appear the Antichrist. He's the same as the man of lawlessness in Thessalonians chapter, in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. He will have no regard for God. Atheism will be the common cultural attitude. Relationships between men and women won't matter. You can have a relationship with whoever you want. This man will say that it doesn't matter if you're a man or woman, or you can become whatever you want. That's what will happen at the end. War will be his God. He will do whatever he wants. He will be inhumane. And then at the end, there will be a fierce battle. This is figurative. There will be a fierce battle. Nowhere in the whole world will escape his fury. He'll be aggressive. And anyone who stands out against these things will be quickly put down. But at last, he will be brought down, and his time will come to an end. Now, it's very important to say at the end of Daniel, he says, I don't fully understand these things. Daniel says. So we can't be dogmatic about these things, and I'm very glad we're all going to leave at different times so you can't ask me about these things at the door. I'm very glad about that, all right? But the point is this. My first thing about this section is this. Daniel saw three stages in world history. Four beasts. They've already been and gone. From these four beasts, the second stage, where we are today, all the kingdoms of the world, kingdoms will rise and fall, and it'll be all these different people. And then at the end, from one of these kingdoms, an Antichrist will rise. And when the Antichrist comes, the relationship between men and women won't matter. War will be everywhere. Atheism will be the nature of the day. And it will get worse and worse and worse. And anyone who dares to stand out against these things will be put down. Remember the point. Daniel saw the church would be victorious. But he sees among that there'll be three stages in world history. The second thing he sees on this point then is this. Evil will not triumph. In chapter 7, when he sees all these things and he's deeply upset and deeply anxious and deeply worried, in chapter 7, verse 9, you look at it, he says, and I looked, and thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. While all this is going on earth, Daniel looks up and he sees a throne above it all. And this throne, it has power to put down all these kingdoms and all these people whenever it chooses. Can I say to you this morning, maybe we are approaching the last days. Maybe we are coming to the third stage in history. I don't know. Maybe things will get much tougher for the church. And if you stand up for these things, even in our lifetime, you'll be really put down. But what do we do in this situation? We look up. And the court of heaven isn't something that's going to be put together at the end or convened at the last time. The court of heaven is there all the time. God is on the throne this morning. And he's seen what's happening with COVID. And he's seen all the marches and the protests. And he knows about Brexit. And he knows about aggressive liberalism. He knows about the state of the church. He knows about America and Russia and Britain and China and the EU. He's over it all. All in his hand. So Daniel, he sees all that's going to happen on earth. And then he looks up and he sees the Ancient of Days. There, all the time, in complete and utter control. And then into this court, Daniel sees something else. In verse 13, he says, then I saw in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. Into this court with the Ancient of Days comes somebody like the Son of Man. He's like the Son of Man because at this point he's not a man. He's the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state. And he comes into the court and he's the one who will conquer evil. And he's the one who will bring down the Antichrist. In chapter 8 of Daniel, Gabriel comes to earth to help Daniel understand these things. There'll be another time when Gabriel came to this earth in the New Testament. There was a group of shepherds on a field outside the city of Bethlehem. And Gabriel comes down and says, I bring you good news. A Savior's going to be born. His name's Christ the Lord. And when this fourth beast, Rome, was at the peak of its powers, in the backwater of a Middle Eastern country, a little Hebrew teenager gave birth to a little boy
in a stable in Bethlehem. And that little boy would grow up in a rough, working class, difficult area in North Palestine. And at 33, they nailed him to a cross. And yes, on the one hand, he died to save us from our sins, but he also came to defeat evil. He says, I saw Satan fall from the sky. Evil will not continue. And on that cross, he died to set up a new kingdom, indestructible, universal, that would never be destroyed. And the church is no longer the tail, but the head. And the church is starting it. Here we have in Babylon, these just these four boys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, just four of them, stand for the King of Kings. And then throughout the Bible, then you've got another little group, haven't you, in the New Testament, just Anna and Simeon and a few others. And then you've got 120 in an upper room, and they go out to Jerusalem and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. And here we are in 2020 in London, and this kingdom is growing and growing and growing. My first point, Daniel saw that God's kingdom would be victorious. There will be three stages in history, but evil will not triumph. But the third thing about this point is this. There will be a spiritual battle. So Daniel saw, this is what's going to happen in history now, Daniel. This is how it's going to play out. But remember, at the end, evil will not win. But you need to know, Daniel Bach, in the meantime, there's going to be a spiritual battle. You see, Daniel chapter 10 makes this absolutely clear. Daniel has a vision in chapter 10. It goes through from chapter 10, 11, and for the first part of chapter 12. And in this vision, it's the third year of King Cyrus. Now, King Cyrus was, at this point now, we're coming to the end of the book, and in the third year of King Cyrus, the first year of King Cyrus, he said that people, the church, the Jews could go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. This is the third year of King Cyrus. And Daniel's been praying. And he's been praying for 3 weeks. And he's downcast. Because a very small group of Jews have taken the opportunity to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. But the vast majority haven't. They've decided just to carry on living in Babylon. And the Jews who have gone back to rebuild the temple, the building of the temple has been thwarted and halted. Because the Samaritans have gone to the Persian kind of authorities and said, please don't let them rebuild the temple, and they stopped it. So Daniel is praying. He's been praying for 3 weeks. He's downcast. He's on his bed. He's feeling down in the dumps because it seems to him that they've had a chance to go back to Jerusalem, and most people haven't. And those who have been prevented from doing what they should be doing. And Daniel's praying, and nothing seems to be happening. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, in Daniel chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, the Lord Jesus Christ himself comes and meets with Daniel. And he says these incredible things. Daniel, I heard you from the first moment you started to pray. I heard you. Now, this is a difficult bit. But I was prevented from coming to you. Like I said, I'm really glad you can't talk me at the door this morning. I was prevented from coming to you. You prayed to me. I heard you. As soon as you started praying, I heard you. But I was prevented from coming to you. And then the Lord Jesus Christ explains to Daniel all that's going to happen to the people of God. And his point is this. We are in a spiritual battle. And there are, as Ephesians says, isn't it? There are, is a heavenly realm, a spiritual realm. So we don't wrestle against each other this morning. We wrestle against principalities and powers and the forces of evil. And so Daniel, here he is. He's been told there's going to be three stages in history. Evil will not triumph, but you will be in a spiritual battle. And when you pray, it's not like a penny slot machine where you put your money in and get out straight away. You've got to battle. Because you pray and you need to know that whilst you pray, there's an enemy to your prayers. They want to prevent your prayers happening. You see, what was the problem with the Jews at this time? Why didn't they want to go back home to build their temple? And why were they so discouraged? And why had the Samaritans stopped the work? None of it was the real enemies. The real enemy was this. There was a devil and his demons who wanted to halt the work. And what is true of Daniel in Babylon 500 years before Christ is true today. Some of you have prayed for things, haven't you? You've pleaded with God for things. You've prayed for your family. Please save them, and he hasn't. Why do churches split? Why do things go wrong? Why will we probably fall out of how to open the church? Why do we do those things? Why do Christians end up not talking over the most ridiculous things? Why do people I love not save? Because we're in a spiritual battle. Why isn't your life panning out the way you want it to? Why do I fall into these sins? Why do I find it so hard to read my Bible? Why do I find it so hard to pray? Because there's an enemy to our souls. It's a spiritual battle. That's why the Apostle Paul, he says to them in Ephesians, put on the full armor of God. Christian, history will pan out. And everything that Daniel said will come true because everything he's already said that's happened has come true. Know this, the church will be victorious. But we're in a spiritual battle. And the fourth thing to say on this point is this. All this is certain. You see, in Daniel chapter 11, which is quite a hard chapter to understand, and I really encourage you to get a commentary, a history book, and your Bible, and read Daniel chapter 11, because it talks about specific historical things that are going to happen. And all those things have come true. The only thing that's missing from Daniel chapter 11 is the specific names of the kings. Read it. Honestly, I encourage you to do it. It will take you a bit of time and you'll have to really work hard. But if you had the book of Daniel, a good commentary and a history book, and read Daniel chapter 11 at your leisure, you will see that Daniel outlines all things that are going to happen in history and they all come true. It's incredible. So we know that everything that is going to happen is happening. It is certain. It is certain. Everything the scriptures predict will come to pass. All that is happening has been appointed. The word of God. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, Daniel is told, seal all this up. Because you'll need this book in the future, Daniel. They took Daniel's book. They had to put it in a library in Babylon. It became part of the canon of scripture. Why? Because these things are true and certain, and you will need them, Daniel. In Daniel chapter 12, it says, at the end, many people will run to and fro, and they'll be panicking, and they'll say different things, and everyone will talk with great authority. But Daniel, you hold to this book, because this is true. This is certain. So everything I've said is true and dependable. If you read Daniel, which I'm sure you're all going to do now with those three great books, you will find this. Daniel, whenever he's asked, he never gives his opinion, ever. When he's brought before kings to interpret dreams, the king says to him, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, they say, Daniel, we've heard that you can interpret dreams. He always says the same thing. I can't. There's a God in heaven. See, I love Gerald Hemmings. He's one of my heroes, okay? Don't tell him that. He's one of my heroes. But I don't come to Amien Park to hear Gerard Hemmings' opinions. I don't really want to know what Gerard Hemmings thinks about things.
I want it to tell me what God has to say. I hope this morning you haven't come here to hear my opinions. They're not very good. What I'm trying to do is to tell you what God says. This is what this church is about. If you're listening in maybe for the first time or the second time, whatever time, this church is about telling you what this book has to say. Because none of us really know what we're doing. Human and public opinion changes all the time. You see, David Hockney said in The Guardian a few months ago, he said, 30 years ago, you could smoke, but you couldn't be gay. Today, you can be gay, but you can't smoke. There's always something. Human beings, we chop and change our opinions all the time. All the time. Your young people, I bet you've got really big political ideologies. I bet they'll change. What you think about certain things, what you think about certain people, we just can't trust ourselves. I encourage you, I plead with you to bow to this book and know that this book is certain. There might be things in it you find hard. There might be things in it that you don't like, but trust it. It's certain. And you know what? Whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, it doesn't change the fact that it's true. Truth unchanged, unchanging. I think I've said this to you before. The Bishop of Kensington came to my school many years ago, and he's not the Bishop of Kensington anymore. He's in Nottingham, I think. But he came to the school, and he talked to the boys. And he told them a story. He said, I went to Snowdon on my day off to climb the mountain. He said, I started to climb the mountain. He said, I had my rucksack on. He said, it was a lovely sunny day, and I started with great urgency climbing Snowdon. He said, as I climbed the hill, he said, I started on the bottom of the hill. I passed an old man. He said, he looked about 80. And he was walking really slowly with his stick. And the bishop thought to himself, all the best, mate, climbing that mountain. And the bishop went off. And hours later, the weather changed. The fog came down. The bishop was lost. Didn't know what to do. And behind him came this old man. And he said, come with me. I've climbed this mountain all my life. Follow me. And the bishop took him, the man took him, and he said, be careful there now, and watch there, and we need to go this way, and what, don't go that way, and led him safely off the mountain. Maybe you're listening in this morning, you're in the building, young people in particular, you've taken this book, and you said, all the best in this modern age, all the best. But the weather's changed, isn't it? Fog's coming down. And this book knows from everlasting to everlasting. Knows everything that's ever happened. Trust it. So my last point on this point is this. Don't stop believing. There's going to be four stages in history. Evil will not triumph. We're going to be in a spiritual battle. All this is certain. So whatever you do, don't stop believing. You see, when Daniel had these visions, and like I say, I can't go into many detail, we're just skimming them, aren't we? But when Daniel had these visions, he became really troubled. You would, wouldn't you? If you'd heard that there's going to be a man of indescribable horror come in, and the people of God are going to be persecuted, and there's going to be spiritual battles, it'd all be too much for you. But Daniel says in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. It's Daniel. Just keep believing. Difficult times, uncertain times, trouble, but just keep believing. Because there's a book, and in the book is a name of all the people who just keep believing.
You see, when the Antichrist comes, after he's been here, I don't know how long he's going to be here. And maybe, as I say, maybe these days are fast coming, I don't know. But God will come. And a trumpet will sound. And there'll be a shout and the voice of an archangel. And everyone will be brought before God. That day is coming. You might think, well, I don't know, is it really? It is. It is. No one thought Antiochus Epiphanes was going to come, but he did. The Antichrist will come, but then Christ will come. And all that matters then is, are you still believing? Because verse 3 of chapter 12 says, the wise continue to believe, and they continue to spread the gospel. Daniel asks, how long will these things be? When will the end come? And I'm sure you've looked at verse 12 and 13. And if you can understand those words, those verses, all the best, because no one in church history ever really has. Deliberately so. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says to Daniel, and Daniel says, but when will the end come? The Lord Jesus Christ more or less says, Daniel, it's none of your business, boy. Just keep believing. Just keep believing. I say to you this morning, keep believing. Live for the kingdom now. Recognize his reign now. Fulfill your responsibility now. Trust the Bible now. Young Christians, you, those who come to my house for teenage Bible studies, can I say to you, buckle up. Because there's going to be difficult times ahead for young Christians. Buckle up. Maybe those who are in their 20s and 30s, and you've got young families, and it takes up all your time, and that you're occupied with your family and your children, can I say, don't take your eye off the ball. Don't take your eye off the ball. Maybe middle-aged, and we're tired, and work is busy and stressful. And we're late home from work, and we've always got work on our minds. Let's not lose sight of what it's all really about. And backsliders, maybe listening this morning, maybe you're this morning, backsliders, come back to him. Come back to him. And young people who once used to come to this church maybe, and they once loved these things, but now they started to think, is it real? And relationships and what the media says about certain things seems more to make more sense. And some things the Bible says seem to be so unkind and out of date. Can I say to you, come back to him even this morning. Don't stop believing. And old people, you're nearly home. You might be in your houses this morning. You might be lonely and isolated. Don't stop believing. Because my last point, and the seventh thing about Daniel, quickly to end, is this. Remember now, he was a long way from home. He made a stand. He had a Christ-like character. He trusted in God's sovereignty. He was a man of prayer, and he saw that the church would be victorious. The seventh thing is this, and this is the best that we've saved, the best till last. He was greatly loved in heaven. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 23, he is told, Daniel, you are greatly loved. In Daniel chapter 10 and verse 11, the Lord Jesus Christ himself says to Daniel, man, greatly loved. All that was going on, Daniel was greatly loved. Do you know, one of my favorite memories is this. I'd finished my first term in university and I was coming home for Christmas. And I'd been in Aberystwyth for a term, I didn't come home, and then I was coming home for Christmas. My dad came to pick me up and I was in my room waiting for him, and I could hear him coming down Pier Street whistling. And I came out of my room to meet him, and when he saw me, he was so happy to see me,
he laughed. And he screwed my ear around and he said, I've missed you, boy. And I got in the car and we drove all the way home and I fell fast asleep. I slept all the way home and I woke up beside my house. And all the Christmas lights were on in my house. And there was Christmas music playing. And my mother was making a pie. And she'd seen the car put up. She'd put the kettle on. She'd come to the door to meet me. And she wrapped her arms around me. She said, you're home. You're home. At last, my boy is home. You see, at home, I was greatly loved. Can you imagine Daniel? He's been over 70 years in Babylon. He's been forgotten. He's been ridiculed. He's been thrown to the lions. He's been shown visions. He's seen that the church is going to be persecuted. He's been discouraged. And yet he is told, but Daniel, in heaven you are greatly loved. You are a long way from home. But in heaven, you're loved. And I say to you this morning, young people, if you stand for Jesus Christ, you will stick out like sore thumbs. You'll be left out of things. You won't be invited to parties. You'll be made fun of. You'll be ignored. You'll be looked down upon. You'll be left out of things. They might even hate you because they find what you believe is obnoxious. Some of you at home, you're tired of being locked down and locked up. You're lonely. You've got financial problems. You don't know how you're going to make ends meet. When furlough ends in October, what are you going to do? I don't know. Maybe you've got health troubles and you're worried about your health. You're lonely. You're stressed. But can I tell you this morning, Christian, in heaven, you are greatly loved. And Daniel, in the meantime, in throughout this time in Babylon, there were moments when he had wonderful experiences. Jesus Christ met with him. Angels came to him. And the same can be true of us. Why do you come to church? Why do you listen in? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? Well, it's not just because that's what Christians do. It should be, shouldn't it, that I want to, as Gerard says, breathe in the air of another world. And have little foretastes of home. See, when I was in university, it was the days before the internet, really. Well, I think it was, I can't remember. But I would have letters from my mother telling me about home. And I'd phone her once or twice a week to hear her voice and to tell her things and to hear about home. When I pick up my Bible, what do? I want to find out about home. I want him to tell me about home. And when I pray, I want to tell him what's going on and ask for heavenly help. And maybe we'll entertain angels unawares. But he only comes to those who are serious about the things of God. And as I close, you might ask the question, but how do I know that I'm greatly loved in heaven? It's all well and good, Al. Great. But how do I know that I'm greatly loved in heaven? Well, the three most difficult verses in Daniel are probably Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, which talks about 70 weeks or 77s from now when Jerusalem will experience four things. Again, no one really can work out these figures. When Jeremiah talks about weeks is very specific, or years is very specific. Gabriel, when he talks here, is more cryptic. No one knows what this really means. Exact times. But it would seem that it's in the region of about 490 years, and there's going to be different sections. There's going to be a short section where when they're going to get the temple ready. Then there's going to be a long period. So the first, if you think of 70 periods, a very short period. Then 68 very long periods. Then it's going to be another short period. What does all this mean? Well, a short period, like I say, is when they rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem. And then it's going to be a long period from that time until when this person in Daniel chapter 9 is going to come. And he's going to be around for a short period.
and he's going to be cut off. And when he comes, he's going to do four things. And Daniel is told, Daniel, don't worry about, it's all right to think about the temple, but you think about this big thing that's going to happen. And these four things are this. When this person comes in 77s, he's going to put an end to transgressions. The sins which stare God in the face will be removed. And the second thing is, righteousness is going to come. It's not going to just be that he's going to get rid of your sin. He's going to make you right with God. God is going to want you and like you and love you. And this is going to be the last word. The third thing is, this is the final thing God's going to say. And the fourth thing is, when he comes, you're no longer going to need temples. You're going to meet in Jesus Christ. How do I know I'm greatly loved? Because God sent his son. From Daniel's point of view, in 77s. From our point of view, 2,000 years ago, he's going to send his son, who's going to put an end to all my sin and make me right with God. Now, can you imagine AD 1 in Babylon? And like I say, Daniel's book would have been put in the library in Babylon. Now, can you imagine AD 1? Astrologers go into the library in Babylon. Maybe it was the university library or the national library. They go into the library in Babylon. There might have been 3 of them. There might have been 12 of them. There might have been more of them. They go into the library. They take down Daniel's book and they read it. And they come to chapter 9 and they read verse 24 to 27. And they think, wow, from the time this was written to now has been 490 years. So the person that Daniel is talking about who's going to come and end sin and make us right with God and going to be a king, that person's about to be born. And these same men, they study the night sky. And in the night sky appears a star, a brilliant star. And it's an unusual star. And these men, they get on their camels and they follow this star. And this star eventually comes above a little house in Bethlehem. And these men who've come from Babylon and read these things, and I don't know if this definitely happened, but I think it did. They get off their camels and they knock the door of this house. And a carpenter called Joseph answers the door. And they explain what's going on and he takes them into the house. And they go into the house and they see a young Hebrew maid there and they see a little toddler. And these men, they open their travel bags and they pull out gold, frankincense and myrrh, and they bow down and they worship this toddler. Why? Because the one who was like the Son of Man is now the Son of Man. And the one who appeared to Daniel on the Tigris, he's now come and he's now a little helpless baby. And then you can imagine, can't you, these men, they worship him, then they return to their country. And 30, 40 years later, the gospel spreads to the east, maybe through Thomas and some of the other disciples went that way. And these men find out, do you know what? That toddler you saw, he grew up, became a man. And they nailed him and hung him on a cross to bleed and to die. Why? Because men in heaven, you are greatly loved. We are a long way from home this morning. I urge you to make a stand, to have Christ-like characters, to trust in God's sovereignty, to be a man, a woman, a young person, a boy and a girl of prayer, to know that the church will be victorious and rest in the knowledge that you are greatly loved in heaven. And soon, maybe very soon, we will go and see the king.